in, and the doctor is in. Yes, Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, and I'm glad you could join us this week as we continue in our exploration of all things technical. Yeah, we're looking into the tech world, and it's looking back into us. Oh, man. No, I don't want to go where, you know, into that old Nietzsche quote about if you stare into the abyss stares back at you. No, 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 that's a little too heavy for the doctor. I'm sorry. No, we're talking about technology, and we're having a big time looking at all the things that are happening this week in the technical world. And if you just kind of cruise by in your surfing the web and go to thecomputercurmudgeon.com, then you can read all about what's happening in the tech world every week. We talk about it. We blog about it. We have a lot of fun with it. And I'd encourage you to stop by and check it out. When I left off last week on episode 14, it sounds like the continuing series of Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. By the way, this is episode 15, and this is an early edition, actually. We're doing it on a Friday evening instead of a Saturday morning. So this is Friday, December the 16th, as I record this amazing edition of Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. And glad you could tune on by and check us out. When we left off, we were talking about a great many things. And, of course, tech world just keeps going right on. And so we've got some new things to talk about this week. This week, we want to start off with a Geek Software of the Week special for you. You know, I know a lot of people like a program called WinZip. As a matter of fact, I do, and I like it so much. And let me digress just a bit here. I'm a great believer in people who are producing software just for the love of producing software. In other words, I'm an advocate of open source. But I know there are people out there who write code, and they do it as their living. That's how they make, you know, their rent money, if you will. And so I certainly don't begrudge them charging for software that they write. That's their business. That's their job. You know, they pay me to do my job. They pay you to do your job. You don't just do it for nothing. Now, the people who want to do, you know, software, want to write software for free, not charge for it, release it as open source, that's great. And I certainly, my hat's off to them. They just do it because they love to code, and that's great. But people who write shareware, let me just kind of step on my soapbox a minute here. People that write shareware deserve to be supported. If you use a shareware utility, you ought to pay for it. Now, there's a lot of people that use WinZip. They like WinZip, but they're not paying for it. They download it. The people that write WinZip, bless their darn hearts, they write the code, they release it, and they ask you to pay. I think it's like $25, $29, something like that. It's not very much. And a lot of people just kind of blow that off, and they just use it but don't ever pay for it. They keep it in, quote, evaluation mode. It's been in evaluation mode for like 5 years, and they still aren't paying for it. Come on, guys. You know, get with the program. If you're going to use a program like WinZip, pay for the program. I paid for a legally licensed copy, and I have a copy of WinZip, and that's great. But the license for WinZip is such that you license it one per machine. Now, the doctor is a true geek. I got a lot of machines. If I started licensing WinZip for every machine, I'm sorry, I'd be paying out a lot of money. So I'm glad that this week's Geek Software of the Week is a free Zip Unzip utility. Now, nothing against WinZip. You know, they still have an excellent program. You know, buy yourself a copy, use it. But if you got a lot of machines like I do, and that looks like that would get really expensive, or if you support a network of machines and don't want to pay that huge fee for every single one of them to be licensed, you really ought to look at this week's Geek Software of the Week. It is a program called 7-Zip. 7-Zip is open source. It is totally free, totally legal to use, download it, use it. You can pack and unpack in its own proprietary format, which is 7Z, or it will pack or unpack in ZIP, GZIP, BZIP2, and TAR, all of those formats, And it will unpack, now this is the part I like, it will unpack RAR, that's R-A-R, CABs, ARJs, LZHs, CHMs, Z, CPIO, RPM, and DEB. In other words, it'll unpack all of those different formats. That's great. Now, you know, you'll recognize some of those. DEB is Debian. RPM is Red Hat's, you know, Red Hat Program Manager format. The Z and the GZIP and all of these are all basically Linux-based open source. But the cool thing about 7-Zip is it's Windows software. You can download it. You can put it on your system. And you can unzip all of these different packages. Very handy, particularly RAR. RAR, you know, WinRAR is a good program. But again, it costs, if you purchase it, which you ought to because it is shareware. But here with 7-Zip, you can download this. You can use it for free. You're good to go. So I encourage you to be legal, okay? All right. Now, what else is happening this week? Well, we found out that Linus Torvalds has opinions. Now, a lot of people, when Linus made this statement that I'm about to share with you, they got all bent out of shape about it. Like, Linus shouldn't have an opinion. Hey, he's a guy, okay? Yes, he's the original developer and the creator of Linux. Yes, he started the ball rolling. He is still maintainer of the kernel. He's, you know, specifically the one that kind of decides what is in Linux, so to speak. But he can have an opinion. I'm sorry, okay? People got all bent out of shape because Linux said, look, just use KDE. Okay? Forget GNOME. Now, I realize that is a very heavy-duty thing for the father of Linux to come out and say. But here's the thing. Now, I'm about to step up on my soapbox again here. In my opinion, there's, you know, a lot of people say, well, Linux is, you know, Linux is all about choice, man. You got all these choices you can make. Oh, it's all about choice. Yeah, there is. You can use KDE, you can use GNOME, and we're talking about Windows managers here. We're talking about the look and feel, the Windowsy environment for Linux. You can use Fluxbox, you can use GWM, you can use all kinds of different Windows managers. You can use plain old pure X Windows if you want to. But the two major contenders are KDE and GNOME. And those two groups have been at it for a long time, and they keep improving their interfaces, and that's great. And that's, you know, competition is a good thing. But here's the thing. Windows has one environment. I'm talking about Microsoft Windows has one environment, and people are writing to that environment, and they're people are training on and getting used to that environment, and it is a disadvantage, in my opinion, for Linux to have so many different windowing environments. Okay, yeah, choice is good, and I'm glad everybody can install what they want, and I hope that they all continue to go on and develop their different environments. But for Linux to get a major share of the desktop, there's really going to end up having to be one standard. And I think that's pretty much what Linus is saying here. He says, just forget it, use KDE. And I gotta admit, the doctor agrees with Linus. Now, who am I to disagree with Linus anyway? But I agree. I think KDE is a much easier environment for people who are used to Windowsy things to use. Now people, you know, true diehard Linux people say, oh, see, that's the whole reason you should use GNOME. Yeah. Come on, guys. If you're going to have enough of a desktop market share, you're going to have to go with something that the majority of people can pick up and use, and that's going to be KDE. Okay? That's my opinion. So, Linus and I agree. There you go. All right. Next item. Unbelievably realistic CGI image. I tell you what, you've got to go to my blog, thecomputercurmudgeon.com, thecomputercurmudgeon, thecomputercurmudgeon.com. Go to the blog, find this article, Unbelievably Realistic CGI Image. Click on this image and take a look at it. This thing rocks. I would almost, I mean, this looks like some guy I've seen on TV. Okay, this looks like a real photograph. and yet it is a CGI image, a computer-generated image. Unbelievable. You got to see it to believe it. And this is where we're headed. Now, I make the point in the blog, there is going to be a day coming that movies are going to be made without actual actors. Okay, maybe voice actors, but the acting is going to be done by computer-generated images. King Kong. King Kong, the actual, quote, ape in the movie, is all CGI. And the characters interact with him. Same thing in Lord of the Rings with Gollum. CGI. Amazing what they're doing with this stuff these days. And it's, video games, they're going to get photorealistic. Unbelievable. You got to check it out. Okay? Just amazing. Another interesting and amazing thing that happened this week is there was an article, and I posted it in the blog, about an Easter egg in OpenOffice 2.0. Now, an Easter egg, for those uninitiated among you, an Easter egg is one of those little things that is a hidden treasure in a game, okay? It's like, if you unlock this certain thing, and you do this certain thing, and you enter this certain code, you'll unlock some kind of a mini game, or it may be a scrolling list of the names of the people that made the game, or, whatever. Just some little odd, hidden, weird little thing. And people have kind of made a game, a game within a game, of finding the hidden Easter eggs and reporting on them. Well, somebody uncovered an Easter egg in OpenOffice 2.0. Now, you don't usually think of an Easter egg being in an office suite, but yet there it is. And I actually tried it, and it's a lot of fun. You go into Calc, OpenOffice Calc. This is in 2.0. You go into Calc, you enter a string, basically a code, and when you do, up pops this little game that's like Space Invaders. And the little characters come down the screen, and you have to shoot them with a little gun that slides back and forth. It's kind of cute. Now, the instructions and everything else all seem to be written in German, but you don't really need them because it's just plain old straight Space Invaders. A lot of fun, and it's not something you'd expect to find in an Excel spreadsheet, essentially. But, OpenOffice Calc. Unbelievably cool. You got to check that out. Go to my blog, look for Easter egg in OpenOffice 2.0, read about it, click on the link to learn exactly how to do it. It's not really that hard. I mean, I can share it with you pretty quickly. If you go into OpenOffice 2.0, you open up Calc, you type in any cell, doesn't matter what cell, equal, capital G, A-M-E, lowercase, equal game, paren, quote, capital S-T-A-R, and then this is all one word, capital W-A-R-S, close quote, close paren. So equal game, Star Wars in double quotes, and it'll pop up. Now, you got to get it exactly right. So, you can always go to the blog, you can click on the link, and you can just cut and paste that string directly into Calc, the spreadsheet within OpenOffice 2.0. And it's a lot of fun. I went through level one, and once I got to level two, I said, okay. I'm just not a big game guy, okay? But, it's kind of neat that it was there, so it was kind of fun to uncover. All right, next item on the agenda. Microsoft releases an IE patch. Well, 6 months into a problem that had been identified, and Microsoft saying, oh, it's not a big deal, it's not a big deal, it's not a big deal. Now, suddenly, they release a patch for IE on the last patch Tuesday this week, and guess what? It fixed the problem that had been identified 6 months ago that wasn't such a big deal because somebody had come out with an actual in-the-wild exploit of it. So, of course, they had to jump on that and get it fixed. The other thing it fixed, now this is weird, it fixed a fix for the Sony BMG rootkit remover that Microsoft had provided. Now, let me get this straight. Microsoft provided a patch for its program that fixed a problem of removing the Sony rootkit that Sony installed because they're evil. Okay. Yeah, I think I got it. All right. It's getting weird out there, folks. Remember I said tech world's getting very strange. Well, it is. All right. Next item, 3,000 Swiss servers just can't be wrong, can they? There is strength in numbers. Now what that's about is Novell announced that the Swiss government will be migrating 3,000 of its servers to SUSE Linux. Rock on. 3,000 servers migrating to Linux. Now here's what they said. This is a quote. Operational efficiency and cost were key factors driving the Swiss government's decision to move to Linux, according to Novell. That's just shocking. Microsoft's been saying that Linux doesn't save money and isn't efficient. Somebody ought to tell the Swiss. Well, I guess they figured that out, didn't they? They actually tried it and they applied some numbers to it and they looked at the bottom line and decided that Linux was going to be cheaper and better. Oh, okay. Well, I guess we'll let it go then. Yeah. All right. Next item, let's move on. Slowing down and even stopping light. Yeah, you heard the doctor right, light. And you say, but Dr. Bill, light is the one single universal constant in the universe. I mean, the speed of light, you know, Einstein, remember him? Old guy, gray hair. It's supposed to be a constant. Well, guess what? It is considered to be the one universal constant. And the speed of light in a vacuum is defined, now get this, to be exactly 299,458 meters per second. Okay. And I'll spare you the kilometers per hour. But it is approximately 186,282.397 miles per second. Yow! Miles per second. In other words, 186 plus miles that it travels in 1 second. Dude. All right. Now, that's a constant. It moves at that speed no matter what. But what if you could slow it down? Well, that's what a scientist decided to try to do. And he applied some various, well, you'll have to read the article to see what he did. But basically what he did is he managed to slow light down. That's pretty wild when you think about it. Now you say, well, what's the benefit in slowing light down or stopping light? Well, here's the thing. This is the real benefit. Right now, computers work by manipulating digital bits, which are electrical impulses. What if you could use light? What if you could store data as bits of light? Dude, quantum computers, that's what you'd end up with. A leap beyond a leap beyond a leap of anything that we can currently even think of. The quote from the article says, quantum computers will one day exploit quantum mechanics to perform incredibly complex mathematical operations at high speed. If the researchers can find a way to store the light pulses for a very long time, they'll also have memory that operates on a quantum scale. Whoa. Can you imagine? That would be cool. Quantum computers. It's coming. It's coming. All right, next item. Should anti-spyware companies use rootkits? In other words, should you be evil to fight evil? Should you fight fire with fire? You remember last week's podcast, I reported that spyware, more and more, was starting to use rootkit technology to hide themselves and what they were doing from you. But guess what? Anti-spyware companies are now coming around saying, okay, you're going to do it, then we'll do it. What do you think about that? And so now they're starting to use rootkit tactics to try to, you know, make the spyware less able to take over your system. Is it right? I don't know. Okay? You're tweaking and you're messing with my operating system at the lowest level, down at the kernel level. And you say you're doing it for my benefit. I don't know. I think this one's going to be debated for a long time to come, but and I'm not totally comfortable with it, okay? Well, we got some other things that I want to share with you, not the least of which is this.
The tracks go off in this direction.
Oops, sir. Right.
Whoa! What was that about? I've got something coming in just a bit. You got to hang in there. It has something to do with Star Wars. But you're going to have to wait to find out what it is. All right? Ah, yeah. Doctor's getting a little cagey on you, huh? You're going to have to wait to see what Star Wars has to do with bunnies. Yeah, you heard me right. Bunnies. Okay. Next item. Dell attempts a secret open source trial. All right. Now, what are we talking about here? Well, it turns out, you know, most of you know this. You've heard the doctor share with this with you before. Microsoft is evil. We were just talking about Star Wars there. You know, Bill Gates doesn't have anything over Darth Vader. Yeah, that's Bill Gates. Oh, you thought that was Darth Vader. Oh, okay. No, Bill Gates, head of the evil empire. Well, I've mentioned before that they are the evil empire. And one of their evil ways is to strong-arm vendors into official Microsoft-only software policies. For instance, have you ever noticed that people like, oh, I don't know, Dell Computer say, Dell recommends Microsoft Windows on this computer? Now, why do you think they say that? Is it because Microsoft Windows is the most secure operating system on the planet? A hint. No. Is it because Microsoft Windows runs better on Dell than any other operating system? No. Then why would they do that? Because Microsoft cuts them deals based on them saying, we recommend Windows for our computers. And as a matter of fact, Microsoft goes even further and says, if you put any other operating system on your computer, then Microsoft Windows will come down on you. Dum, dum, dum. Yeah. So, in order for a vendor to maintain good relations with the evil empire and get those special incentives and discount deals, they've got to do certain things. So, Dell, it turns out, has been secretly running tests in the UK of pre-installing Firefox on their PCs. Whoa. So what does that mean? That means that a customer could open up a Dell computer and pre-installed on that Dell computer instead of, you know, Internet Explorer and AOL and yada yada and yada yada, all the things that are normally on there. Instead, they open it up, they fire it up, and there before them is that Firefox logo. They click on it and they have a safe web browser. Wow. Now you gotta ask yourself, if it's such a big deal to break with Microsoft on this, if it's such a big deal not to have Microsoft software on their computers, why would they risk pre-installing Firefox? Well, let's think about this. Dell is big about supporting the customer after the sale, right? When their customers call up and say, you know that computer I bought 6 months ago? It was running so fast. Now it's all bogged down and slow. What's going on? And the guy on the other end of the phone has to say, sir, you've been surfing a lot of sites using Internet Explorer, haven't you? Uh-huh. Well, sir, because of that, see, you picked up a bunch of spyware and adware and junk like that, and it's slowing your system down because it's calling home and telling everybody where you're going and where you've been surfing and what you've been doing, and if you use your credit card, maybe what that is. You know, all kinds of stuff, sir. So, you're going to have to just get it all cleaned up, okay? I'm sure they're tired of saying that. So wouldn't it be better to put Firefox on from the factory, and then when the poor unsuspecting user gets home and fires it up and goes and visits all those sites that are infecting him. He doesn't pick up the infections, and the computer keeps running smooth and happy and fast? Wouldn't that look better for Dell? Wouldn't it be better customer service? Yeah, actually it would. So see, they do have an incentive to install a good web browser on the system instead of that Blue E. So they're attempting secret open source trials to see if anybody picks up on it. Well, some of us did, Dale. And dude, we're with ya, alright. Way to go. Okay, I guess we got Dell in enough trouble with Microsoft. We'll move right along, shall we? And,
I don't know, you think a princess and a guy like me?
No.
Ah, another hint of something to come. Bunnies. Bunnies and Star Wars. Just kind of makes your skin crawl, doesn't it? Oh, well. Okay, let's move right along. Our next item is perhaps the most amazing. I can't begin to explain how cool this software is, okay? Now, let me back off here and kind of wipe the saliva here from the edge of my mouth. Thank you. Here's the deal. I share with you Geek Software of the Week. Matter of fact, we just talked about a Geek Software of the Week with, you know, the Zip utility. And that's good. It's great. But every so often, something comes along that is more like Geek Software of the Year. Okay? This blows everything out of the water. Now, why do I say that? Because there's a need that all of us have that travel with our computers, with our laptops. And that is, when you go to a hotel, you open up your laptop and it says, free Wi-Fi connection. And you open it up and there's your Wi-Fi connection and you get on, you start surfing. Guess what? As you surf the web and you type in your passwords to check your email and maybe do a little online banking while you're sitting there in the hotel, all of that data is going through the wire, unencrypted. That would be bad, okay? What we need is a true, secure VPN connection. Now, here's the deal. VPN as a technology is very cool, but it is somewhat difficult to implement for the quote-unquote typical user. There's a lot of configuration involved. There's a lot. Now, people have worked around this in a lot of different ways, and there's been a lot of different services, but this one that I'm about to tell you about totally rocks, okay? You need to go to my blog. You need to read about it. You need to read up on it. It's called Hamachi. It is totally 100% free, so rock on, that's good. But it's also totally secure. And I'll tell you what, Steve Gibson in his podcast this week, Security Now, go to his website, listen to his podcast, and listen to him talk about how cool the software is. And he and Leo just go on and on and on and on about it. I'm telling you, you got to check it out. I have tried it, and it totally rocks. Okay? Free peer-to-peer VPN connectivity. And I'd encourage you to go ahead and get Steve Gibson's Gibson Research Private Password Generator that he has on his website. Generate a nice, long, totally encrypted password, totally cryptic and crazy password. And you can make this thing totally locked down, solid, secure, and it just plain rocks. So I would encourage you to do that, okay? Well, we're running just a little long, but I'm telling you what, the time has come. Now, I share with you a great many things about geek culture, okay? I'm all about living the geek lifestyle, okay? Computer in every pot, you know what I mean? Well, I've shared with you about all your base are belong to us. I shared with you why there are certain things, certain jokes that are out there that only you as a geek will understand. You know, roses are red, violets are blue, and HTML, hexadecimal code. All kinds of good things that I've shared with you under the category of geek culture. And if you go to my blog, thecomputercomputing.com, go over and click on geek culture category, you can read all about those things. But this week, I've got one for you. It's especially important because it involves Star Wars and bunnies. Yes, you heard me right. Bunnies reenact Star Wars in 30 seconds. The entire original Star Wars movie in 30 seconds. How can it be done, you say? Because they're bunnies. And bunnies are fast. 30 seconds. Let's hear the audio.
We're doomed.
Where are the plans?
I hid the plans in the R2 unit.
Luke, it's time to learn about the Force.
Chewie says you need a ride.
This station is the ultimate power in the universe.
Wait, don't!
There's a disturbance in the Force.
Force? I got a bad feeling about this.
Whoa. We meet again, Obi-Wan.
I ain't in this for your revolution.
Evacuate?
Use the Force. I have you now.
What?
Yeehaw!
The Force will be with you, always.
Yes. Bunnies do Star Wars. You heard it here. Yeah. Somehow, that just is the note that we need to end this week's podcast on. Yes, indeed, that bunnies can do Star Wars in 30 seconds. Ah, yes. It's an amazing geek world we live in, isn't it? And guess what? The Doctor is out. But we'll be here next week. See y'all come back now, you hear?